We get to read out of Mark 4, 1 through 20 today. All right, let me pull my Bible up. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David, Angela. All right. We're in a series we started about 3 weeks ago called Rooted, Transforming Lives, Transforming the World. We talked about week one, how the mission of Jesus is to transform our lives. He's come, the Bible said, he picked up Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, and he said, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted." He has whole life transformation in view. Not just salvation and heaven, not just forgiveness of sins, but that the kingdom of heaven would invade your life and invade through your life all over the world. And that's our passion, because we know that everyone in this room, myself intentionally included, even the people behind the screens, that God is transforming our lives currently. It's not something he just did, it's something he's doing. And then he's recruited us to be a part of that transformation so that we might raise up the age-old foundations. We might rebuild the ancient ruins. We might be a part of this renovation project that Jesus is recruiting us into. And then last week, James did a great job of teaching on Colossians 2 that this is a journey, that you're going to need to be rooted down and built up. And just as the Washington Monument got a little ways and then they had to stop because they got distracted, because the money ran out, because of all that was going on, each one of us have gotten to that moment where we've built and then stopped. And the encouragement last week was that you would keep building, keep going deeper, keep growing. And then this morning, we're looking in Mark chapter 4, a very familiar passage about the sower and the seed. And here's the main point, and we're going to talk about the sower, the seed, the Satan, and the soils. Here's the main point. Your roots determine your fruits. Your roots determine your fruits. It's the unseen that determines what comes out of our lives. First, I want to talk about the sower. There was a sower who sowed seed. Why does a sower sow seed? He sows the seed for the harvest. Why does the gardener garden? To get the fruit. Why does the vineyard owner tend the vineyard? To get the wine. We tend to get the result that the sower is sowing so that he might get a harvest. And here's what's beautiful, and I want to just impart this to you this morning. Our Father, the great sower, is longing for you to experience the transformation that he has for you. When you hear seed and harvest, I want you to hear this, because Jesus described this parable. He said, look, there's different soils, and each one represents a different people, but the point of that seed going in your hearts is that you would be transformed. I'm going to start over here. Let me help you. Jesus is after your transformation. He's sowing seed, baby. He's moving heaven and earth so that you might know the word and it might transform your life. The sower is after your transformation. And we know that the ultimate seed is Christ. The Father would send the Son, and the Son would be buried in the earth and rise again and inaugurate a new kingdom in the earth. Repent, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven has come, and it's at hand. The sower would sow his Son so that you could experience an abundant life. Now, I didn't make that up, and people have twisted that. And what I'm not saying is Jesus has come to make you happy. I didn't say that. I didn't say Jesus has come to make you rich. I didn't say that. But I did say he came that you may have life and have it to its full, or eternally, or abundantly. That you might have shalom, peace. The Father has come that you may have life. And he has sown even his Son so that you might reap the harvest of the life of God. The life that was in the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's the sower. Here's the thing though, is the sower sows the seed. I walked outside this morning and I picked up an acorn in my yard. It's so tiny. And it comes off of a tree that's three times the size of my house. It's huge. It's literally growing out of my driveway. It's three people's arms wide all the way around. It's huge. And that tree, this oak of righteousness we talked about 2 weeks ago, came out of this tiny acorn. It's wild because in this acorn is the power to fill the earth with wood. Not just to build a tree or grow. This acorn has the power to fill the earth with wood. Just needs time and the right condition. Here's the seed this morning. Mark calls it the word. Luke calls it the word of God. Matthew calls it the word of the kingdom. The message that Jesus preached, which is, I'm bringing heaven to earth through my life and ministry. Where do you get that, Blake? I get it from the Gospels. When Jesus cast out a demon, he said, when I cast out a demon, by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When you pray, pray this way, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the mission of God. The heart of God is that heaven would invade earth, and it invades earth by the word, by the seed. In fact, he goes on a little bit further in Mark 4, and he says, what should I compare the kingdom of God? It's like a seed, a mustard. I could held up a mustard seed, but nobody would be able to see it. It's too small. I'd be like this. Anybody, does he really have one? Yeah. So I have an acorn. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of the plants, but if you plant it in your garden, it will grow up to the biggest of the garden plants and cast shadow on everything. Do you see that? The kingdom of God wants to touch every part of your life. Not just you're broke, he wants to help you pay your bills. Well, praise God, we need to pay our bills. But he didn't just want to touch that, he wants to touch your shame. He wants to touch your addiction. He wants to touch your relationships. He wants to touch that part of your life you've shoved in the corner and shut the door and think doesn't nobody knows about. The kingdom of God is like a seed that's planted and grows. And this is what I love. A seed is an investment. And Jesus has made an investment in your life. And he continues to make the investment. He continues to sow. He knew that 3/4 of these seeds won't bear fruit. He sowed it in your life anyway to give you a chance. And here's the seed. The seed is the word of God. It's the message that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. He was the seed. He is the seed of the kingdom. There's the sower, God's commitment to you. I love Philippians 1:6. Here's the promise. We talked about promises. We sang about promises this morning. Here's a promise. The work I started in you, I will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I know some of us in here, we don't believe that. I want to impart that to you. Whatever he started, he'll finish. Well, I remember years ago, I kind of felt God. What he started, he will complete it. When Jesus tells the parable of the vineyard, I am the vine, you are the branches. I don't know if you remember this, but there's a gardener who goes through the vineyard. And his whole purpose is that you might bear more fruit. I'm going to prune that. I'm going to cut that. I'm going to do everything I can so that you would experience the life of the kingdom. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience. Because without roots, there's no fruits. We almost call this series Rooted and Fruited. But I didn't think y'all would like that. So, rooted. And so the sower sows the seed. And it's interesting here that your harvest, your transformation, your tasting, and it's because here's what's interesting is that we think that we come in here and we learn facts, and that is not the point. It's not for you to learn information or practice some religious ritual. The point of sowing the seed is that you would experience the kingdom. Do you get that? God wants you to experience the life of God, not just learn about God. I could stalk my wife on social media and I'm going to learn a lot about her. Not really, she didn't post a lot, but I could learn about her. But holding her hand and going for a walk and having I'm experiencing that relationship. The goal isn't that I might know about her. The goal is that I might know her. And the Satan, that's what Jesus called him, is trying to take away the word. And here's what's interesting, is that your growth, your transformation is not automatic. Look, stereotypes are real. Look, my son is soon, he got quiet in here. What's he gonna say? My son, first time he hopped on a mechanical device, it was one of those battery powered little cars, just like a real car, had a pedal, steering wheel. He floored it. Drove to the neighbor's yard who had a BMW at the time. Dear God. And then two-wheel whipped that thing in between the cars, whipped it back around, pulled it in the front yard. I was like, what's up? I was like, I don't know how you did that. We were at the strawberry patch. I think it was, like, was he two? He was 2 years old. Couldn't even sit down. Snuck over to the golf cart at the strawberry patch, stood up, just hit the gas, and was just driving around. There was a family of folks sitting down, and he was going right at him, and this worker had to chase down the golf cart and knock him out and pull it off. I think his grandmother tried to stop him too, but she fell down. He was just like, right? Now, my daughter. First time she gets on the same device, she starts shaking it because it's not going. Like, what's wrong with this thing? Right? And my son was upset. She's going to run it in the bushes, which she did. Look, you draw your own conclusions. So she would sit on this thing, and she would get angry because it wouldn't go. She'd shake this wheel. She'd cry. She'd look at us helplessly. So I finally went over, and I pointed to the pedal. Said, you gotta push that, and then it'll go. You know what she did? She bent over and pointed, because I would touch the pedal, and it would go. So she would go bend over and point at the pedal, and because her weight would shift, the weight would hit the pedal, and she'd go, and then she'd lift up and it stopped. So she thought she had to point at the pedal to get it to go. And she'd run into the bush, just like my son prophesied. And here's what's awesome. We think because we come in and we sit in the chair, we should move. Just because you're in the room doesn't mean you're going to experience the life of God. I mean, listen to Jesus. Every one of these soils heard the word. Every one. I can imagine sitting under the teaching ministry of Jesus, you would grow. And it's not automatic. Can you imagine? Folks were literally listening to the voice of God in their midst and didn't produce fruit. Because growth and harvest and experiencing God and the life of God isn't automatic. Because we sit in the chair and cry, we think we're going to grow. Or we shake it and we get mad. Or someone shows us how to do it. But we don't do it. We don't experience the life of God. Because your growth, your flourishing, your experiential experience of God isn't automatic because you walk in the room and you hear the words. So how do we grow? How do we become the harvest? And Jesus said, well, there's three soils that don't produce fruit, and there's one soil that does. And I don't think it's like this, but let's just say it is. That means 75% of the soils in this room won't produce fruit. Now, I don't think it works out exactly like that, but there's a reason he gave three that don't. Because the first soil, the soil of the path, is like seed that lands on the path, the hard ground that people have walked over. And what does he say? It says that the birds come and eat it up. I have sat down with people and counseled them and spoke the word to them and been in rooms like this. And I'm listening to the very word that that person needs to hear. There it is. That's what he needs to hear. And then I look over and that person would literally get up and leave. During, like before it even got good. Why? Because Satan comes and steals the word. A thought here and we're somewhere else. Y'all remember there was this old movie, I think it was called Hook, with Robin Williams. He was Hook. No, Robin Williams was Peter Pan. And he kind of, if y'all were familiar with this story, he gets back into Neverland and he's old somehow. And he's lost all his imagination. He's lost all his magic. He can't fly. All the young kids are picking on him. And he's sitting at this feast of a table. Y'all remember this? And all right. Y'all wouldn't know what generation you are. They're sitting at the table, and he's like, this is, I mean, and they're all, there's no food, just empty bowls, empty utensils, but all the kids are like, they're eating it like it's Thanksgiving. Mmm, so good. He's like, what is wrong with these people? And he takes this moment, because they're badgering him so bad, he's like, he acts like he takes this spoon full of nothing, and he goes like this, and he flicks it, and I guess because he engaged in the process of imagination, it becomes alive, and whatever was on his spoon slaps the guy in the face and he sees it. We've got food all over us. The word preached every week in our ear, Monday through Friday. We got it all over us. Can't get it in our mouths. Cannot bear fruit because the enemy steals it. And he steals it, Luke says, because we don't understand the message. We're too busy thinking right now what I'm going to have for lunch, and the word of God is come to you to transform your life, and you can't hear it. I'm too worried about thinking about what I'm going to post about this word than actually understand the word. I've got nothing to give you to transform your life, except for the power of the word. Nothing will change you. I feel like the gladiator sometimes. Are you not entertained? But let me help you. Entertainment will not transform your life. The word has to be understood. Then it says accepted. You got to agree with it. Yes. God is after my transformation. Some of you don't believe that. And you got food all over you. Man, I'm hungry. Open your mouth and feast on the truth of the word. And because you don't understand it, the enemy snatches it out of you. Hey, what was the word about this morning? It was good. Seeds. You were in the room. Congratulations. But what was the word that God was speaking to you? From what was coming out of the preacher's mouth? Did you hear it? Did you believe it? Because if you hear it and then believe it, then the enemy can't steal it. Did y'all see that? He steals the word, but if you accept it and believe it, it gets in there. That doesn't mean it's going to bear fruit. It just can't get stolen from the get-go. Mark says immediately he takes it. Some of you have forgotten the word before you enter the door. And this is what Jesus said. He goes, the reason I talk about in parables is so that those who want the life of God can experience it. But those who don't want, who just want to be in the room, who just want to go through the motions to feel a little bit better, to peel off the guilt and the shame, they'll experience that, but they won't experience the life of God. Because the word implanted has to be received and accepted immediately. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. There's a war going on this morning, whether you will hear the word and accept it and hold on to it by faith. And the ones who do have a chance to produce. The ones who don't, the enemy just takes it away. The battle to believe. The battle, why am I even here? To hear from God. The rocky soil. They hear it, and immediately receive it with joy. Y'all seen these people, right? They're excitable. Woo, that was awesome. I'm changed now. I'm changed, brother. Okay. But see, they've got rocks. They've got unconfessed sin in their life. It's below surface. No one knows about it. So the seed, as powerful as it is, won't get down there. Because you got other junk down there. If you don't bring it to the light, if you don't unearth the rocks, then the seed can't get its roots down there. And so we have the hidden life that we receive it with joy. We get excited. Immediately it comes up. Did you hear the scripture? It said, when persecution and trial come because of the word. Y'all see that? Satan's going to steal the word, but if you get it, he's going to bring trial and persecution to dry up the word. He's not as scared of you. He's not scared of me. You know what he is scared of? The word implanted in your heart. No roots, no fruits. Excitement. No roots. We sing, we jump, we run around, we cry. No roots. Because excitement doesn't go deep. Now, I'm very excitable. If you've met me, I am excited, passionate. And I hope that's your personality. We can hang out sometime. We'll go to the game. We'll yell, we'll scream. But that doesn't mean equate, passion doesn't equate roots. Paul said, you're passionate about lots of stuff that doesn't matter. Will you pull the rocks out? Will you put your roots deep? Will you do what matters in rooms not like this? Will we get up early, spend time with the God who created us? Will we stay up late and worship when no one's watching? Because it's in these moments the roots go deep. Will we study? Will we fellowship? Will we share our insights? I can tell you, it was the moment in college when I looked at a brother of mine, a fellow student, and pulled the moss back, and he could see all the rocks, all my sin, laid bare before him. And then we began to discuss the scriptures that my roots started going deep. I still feel the nourishment of those early years putting my roots down. Now, I hope my roots are still going down and going out and deep so I can bear fruit up and out. But that early time, and that's why let me encourage you college students, you will never have more time to put your roots down than right now. Don't waste it. Get around a table and discuss what God's doing. I would get up. I just want to paint a different picture because here's the picture we normally paint in college that just survive. Don't survive. Do way more than survive. Push forward the kingdom at ECU and at Pitt. I used to get up at 6:30 and go to the dining hall because no one was there, and I'd spend time with Jesus. I couldn't do it in my room. I lived on campus because my roommate was sleeping. He'd get mad at me. So I had to get up early and spend time. You can do that. Who says you can't do that? Then there's thorny soil. Some seed fell among the thorns. But see, Here's the thing about thorny soil. There's movement happening. There's growth. There's greenery. There's things alive. And there's danger here because they think because there's life and energy and activity and my roots are going, that there'll be fruitfulness. But not so. Because the cares of this world. What's that? What are the cares of this world? It's everything the world cares about. Everything the world is worried about. What are you worried about right now? The cares of this world. I'm worried about, I heard that, I had to pay my bills. I'm worried about my grade. I'm worried about my team. I'm worried about my job. The cares of this life, how I look online, how people perceive me in class, what my reputation is at work. We worry about all the things, and these things choke out the word. The deceitfulness of riches, and it is deceitful, isn't it? If I just had a little bit more. Has anybody else heard that? If I'm doing okay, I'm not completely in debt, but if I had just a little bit more, I'd be happy. Anybody ever heard that? Y'all are lying. Just the deceitfulness of riches. I remember sitting down with a football player years ago. I was doing campus ministry. He played at ECU. And everything was about money. And I just remember sitting down with him, I'm like, bro, that's not going to make you happy. You can have all the money in the world, and it won't satisfy the deep longings of your heart. And here's how deep this thing goes. He goes, I kind of like to find that out myself. I don't blame him, right? Hadn't had any money, want some money. But that's the lie. Just a little bit more, and I'll be happy. Just a little bit more, and I'll be fulfilled. It's the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things, anything more important than God and his glory. And that's changed over time, right? When you're young, it's like, if she'll just look my way, I'll be happy, right? Y'all remember those thoughts? If she'll just text me, send me a snap, I'll be happy. I'll feel some kind of way, and then I'll know. And that becomes all-consuming because then now I got to be the person that that person wants to like, right? And now it's all-consuming. And it chokes the word. And then you get older, you get more mature. I don't do that. Oh, you got other things choking your word, brother. I just need a bigger car. I just need a bigger house and another room. I just need my boss or my job, and it chokes the word. Because God wants you to bloom where you're planted. It's always greener on the other side in our minds. And then we get over there and it's stupid field. It's just as weedy over here as it over there. It's a different kind of weed. But the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. No seed, no roots, no fruits. No seed, no roots, no fruits. And some of us are growing things in this thorny soil that are choking what God wants to do in you. It's competing for your attention and your affections. What have we said this morning? Look, this is what I want for you. This is what God wants for you, that your life would begin to bear the fruit of heaven, that you would be more at peace. that you would be walking in greater victory over besetting sins, that you would walk out of guilt and shame, that you could walk through the storm, experience it, and it not wreck you. I want you to experience the life of God, the joy of knowing Jesus, the power of his resurrection. But it's not automatic, because the enemy will snatch it out of your heart. You got to get where the seed is sown. Some of us get in rooms like this about once a quarter, and we wonder why there's nothing growing. Because you got to get the word in you. It's got to be preached to you. It's got to be imparted to you. It's got to be discussed. Let your memorized even. Let your word, your roots go deep. But we're distracted. We're proud. I don't need this. He didn't really preach it like I like it today. Oh, well, I got a witness right there. Boy. Y'all felt that. Praise God. All right, look. He didn't preach it like I like. He yelled too much. Fine. But what was God speaking? It's the word. Man, we are you not entertained is the wrong question. What did God speak to me today? And if we don't write stuff down, I don't know about you, but if I don't write it down, immediately the enemy snatched it away. Seeds. I'm going to look at you this week. What was it? Y'all be running. Oh, I saw Blake and he hiding. I'll be seeing you in Target. You'll be like. What was the word about? What did God speak to you? I don't care what I said. What did God say to you from his word? Is there unconfessed sin? Is there a hidden life that though the word of God is all over you, the root can't get down because there's a hidden life. There's no room. We got to bring that out. We got to find a trusted friend. We got to find a mentor, a pastor. We have to say, look, there's some boulders down here. Can you help me get them out? I would love to, right? Because it took someone taking the boulders out of my life. Man, I know all kinds of boulders by experience. Let's get these things out of here so our roots go deep. And then Thorny, what other things do we care more about than God and his glory? Because look, he wants to give you the desires of your heart. But if he gives you the desires of your heart and he is not your ultimate desire, it will strangle you. And you'll be living your dream and you'll be fruitless. And that's why in the Old Testament, the Israelites couldn't enter into the promised land until they'd been circumcised. Because look, if you don't deal with this, you don't understand the promises of God, then you're going to take your slavery into the promised land and turn it into a desert. And so, Lord, is there any thorns in my life that I care more? How do I know? Because it's top of mind most of the time. That's a good idea. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Choke out the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we're not left to our own devices this morning. But you came in and planted the seed that would grow on any heart. The good news that God would send his son and die in your place so that you might know the righteousness of God and eternity with him. That is the good news of the gospel this morning. That is the seed planted. And I've seen seeds grow up out of concrete, because if you know the goodness of God in the gospel, it will break up all fallow ground. Father, pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit this morning. If there are hard hearts today in this place, Lord, I pray that you would soften them by the Spirit. If there are proud and distracted hearts, Lord, I pray that you would humble us so that we might hear what you're saying this morning. I just want to give us a chance. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I just want to give you a chance to respond to the Lord this morning. You're saying, Blake, I think my heart's hard with pride and bitterness and distractions, Lord, and I want to repent. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these hands. Lord, they're saying, God, I have got a hard heart, Lord. I pray that you'd heal them and give them grace to plow the heart, God. If your hand's up this morning, just out of your own mouth, say, Father, forgive me. I don't want to be proud. I don't want to be distracted. I want you. Help me. He would love to help you. It is his greatest joy to see you flourish and fruitful. If you're in here this morning, you're saying, Blake, there's a lot going on under the surface. I've got boulders and rocks. I've got unconfessed sin. I need to bring out in the open. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Yes, 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 yes. Don't miss this moment. Respond to the Lord. Father, you see these hearts and these hands. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give them the strength and the courage to follow through, to talk to a trusted friend, to ask for prayer. Holy Spirit, just out of your own mouth, say, help me, Lord. Help me follow through. Help me follow through and bring this to the light. In Jesus' name. And finally, if you've got a thorny heart this morning where you care more about a lot of other things more than God, and it's choking out the life of God, and you wonder why, I'm not experiencing God. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. 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 Father, you see these hands just out of your own mouth. Make an altar right at your seat. God wants to meet you right in here. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Be specific. What do you care more about than him? What do you love more than him? Tell him. He already knows. Tell him. Ask him to forgive and heal. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. Just everyone in this room, can you just out of your own mouth thank the Lord? Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak. Thank you that you love us. Work he started in you, he will not stop until it's done. He's not done with you. 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 Father, I thank you for your amazing word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Thank you, Father. What's interesting about all these soils is that those close to us probably see it better than we do, if we'll allow them in, right? We could put on a show. But this is why Life Group Fair this morning is so important, that we find community because we can't do this alone. There's some boulders that you're going to need to help getting out. Well, how do you know that, Blake? Because I needed help getting out boulders, praise the Lord. There's some roots, there's some thorns that need, you're going to need help. You're probably going to need gloves for that. Right? You're going to need a tool for that one, brother. Let's put both hands on this together and see if we can't get this thing. We need each other, praise God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we close. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you're new to GCF, we'd love to get to know you better. There's a connection card in the chair in front of you. You can fill that out. If you need prayer, our altar team would be up here. They would love to pray with you. But before you leave, please do walk through the lobby and learn about our life groups. And then if you want to go deeper in your faith and want to be a part of our growth track, we'll start probably about 15, 20 minutes after the service in the Legacy Room, our first disciple step. It doesn't matter if you've signed up. If you want to join, please jump in with us. We'd love to have you. We'll see you this Wednesday night for worship night. You guys have a great day.